All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and go to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 10, please. 2 Chronicles, chapter 10. Now, while you're turning there, I want to make a little plea here on behalf of the nursery during Living Cross. We need a couple of more folks to volunteer. We're a little bit thin a couple of nights, especially Friday night. And Friday night is, of course, the big shebang. You know, it's where we normally have our biggest crowd, and so we need some help. And if you would like to help, we would love to use you. So you can sign up. Where do they sign up at, Joan? Out to welcome desk? All right. I know summer's coming. A lot of you probably working on vacation plans. You can sign up out to welcome desk and get all that taken care of, all right? Yeah, it's amazing. You can do anything out that welcome desk. Order lunch, you know, whatever the case may be. But anyway, if you would... help us with that, we would certainly appreciate it. I know a couple of churches are coming on Friday night, and I know of a couple of children, little ones that are coming, and so we need the help. And if you could help us, we would appreciate that greatly. You know, some folks they don't sing. I think everybody wants to be able to sing, but bless you. But I'm not sure that everybody, you know, can sing. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean, John? If you'd have kept quiet, I wasn't gonna say it. And not everyone can act, so you can't be in the play. Not everybody can play an instrument, so you can't be in the orchestra. But there are other ways to help, and nursery is a big way. And I'm telling you, God's going to bless you for that. You mark it down. God's going to bless you for that. You know, I say it every time, but my goodness, if they ever turn that bunch loose on us, we're in trouble. So help us if you can, please. We would appreciate it greatly. All right, let's look at chapter 10. And I would like to read starting in verse 1 and read down through verse 8. Verse 8 being the text verse this morning. Verse 1 says, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king." So Solomon is gone. He passed away, and his son Rehoboam is now going to be installed in Solomon's place. And it came to pass, verse 2, when Jeroboam, all right, they're not brothers, don't get confused. One's Rehoboam, the other's Jeroboam, no relation. It came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, all right, so who was in Egypt. So Jeroboam had fled to Egypt in the scuffle as to who was going to be king. And so it says that that he fled from the presence of Solomon, the king, and Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him, that they being the people of Shechem. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, "Thy father," watch carefully now, "thy father Solomon made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee." All right, so notice that. They're, basically, the people are saying through Jeroboam, Jeroboam's the spokesman, and he basically says, Rehoboam, your dad taxed us too much. All right, too many regulations, killed the economy, didn't care. So now that you're king, we're asking you to lighten up. All right, now let's see what happened. Verse 5, and he said unto them, come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel. That was a wise thing to do, wasn't it? And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what command give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men that they were brought up with him, that stood before him. And he said unto them, watch this now. He said unto them, to the young people, what advice give ye that we may return answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us. And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Which, in other words, he's saying, I'm going to have a heavier hand than what my father had. All right, you think it was bad under dad, you wait till you get a hold of me. All right, okay. So he says in verse 11, for whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king bade, saying, come again to me on the third day. And the king answered them, what's the next word? Roughly. Yes. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men. All right. Now, you would have thought that I knew that we were going to get protested this morning. I did not know that. All right. But I'm going to lay down some principles this morning. And you would have thought that I knew what was going to happen today, but I didn't. All right, let's pray. Father, ask now your blessing upon the message. Thank you for each and every person here. And I pray you'll give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. We love you, Father, and just thank you so much for all that you have blessed us with. And now we need your blessing once again as we open your eternal word. So bless it to our hearts, we pray, and speak to our hearts. And Father, I pray you'll draw each one of us to yourself. Help us to leave here this morning closer to you than we were when we came in. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When Solomon reigned about 40 years, his son Rehoboam ascended to the throne in his place. It was a new day. It was a day of hope, a day of opportunity. But in this chapter, we learn how King Rehoboam made a colossal mistake, which ultimately led to the huge split in the kingdom of Israel. As a result of the decision that Rehoboam made here in this chapter, eventually Israel became the 10 tribes of the north, and Judah and Benjamin became the two tribes of the south called Judah. And it was because of Rehoboam's foolish decision in this chapter that the kingdom eventually divided. Now, let me just give you a real quick, brief overview of the story. All right, Solomon's health is waning. He, of course, wanted his son, Rehoboam, to reign once he was gone. And now there is another fellow in the story, and his name is Jeroboam. Jeroboam was an employee of Solomon before he died. All right? Jeroboam worked as an advisor to Solomon. And Jeroboam was a valiant, noble man. And one day, while Solomon was still living, there was a prophet by the name of Ahijah. And this prophet told Jeroboam that God would take 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel away from Solomon's house, and that he would give them eventually to Jeroboam. All right, so word got out to Solomon that Jeroboam was going to be given, after his death, 10 tribes. And so Solomon swore that he was going to kill Jeroboam if it was the last thing he did. And so Jeroboam fled down to Egypt and waited on Solomon to die. And once Solomon died, then Jeroboam returned to to Israel, and eventually the nation of Israel divided just as God had said it would. And sure enough, Jeroboam became the king over the ten northern tribes, and Rehoboam, Solomon's son, became the ruler over the king over Judah and Benjamin, and that nation was simply called Judah. Now, when Solomon died, the people came to Rehoboam and asked him to consider easing up on all the burdens that Solomon had placed upon them. You see, Solomon was so concerned about himself. He was concerned about his image. And he taxed the people unbelievably. And the reason he did so was so he could build this empire around him that would make him look good. And so when he died, the people now come and they ask Rehoboam, "Now that your dad is dead, would you please ease up on some of these burdens that your father has placed upon us?" King Rehoboam asked for a couple of days, 3 days. "Give me 3 days to discuss this, and then you come back and I'll give you my answer." So in that three-day period, Rehoboam went to the elders in the kingdom, men who had worked alongside of King Solomon, and asked them their advice. "Do you think that I should do what they ask and lift the burden that the people have been living under?" And they responded that it would be a wonderful gesture on your part, King, if you would start off your reign on a positive note and be kind to the people. And those elders said, "We know these people, And if you are kind to them, they'll never forget it. And they will be behind you 100% if you are kind to them. And then Rehoboam went to the younger men and he asked them the same question. And now the inexperienced, brash, elitist young advisors to the king said that he should not make it easier for the people, but should even make it more difficult, bring more taxing, and make it even harder than it was under his daddy, King Solomon. Now, I want you to look carefully at verse 8. In verse 8, we learn that Rehoboam made a terrible judgment call. The terrible call was in heeding the advice of the young men instead of listening to the elders. Now, Rehoboam acted just like so many politicians have acted through the centuries. You know, you would think that we would learn something every now and then, you know? One would think that we could see patterns and see how things work and realize that you can't make the same mistakes over and over and over and expect different results, okay? You would think. I mean, I would think. And but Rehoboam, he behaved just like so many politicians do today. And the reason was because Rehoboam had no heart for the people, only for himself. It ruined whatever respect he may have had and divided the people from him and eventually from one another, as the kingdom eventually divided. You see, folks, when politicians are more concerned about their privileges than they are their responsibilities, then things will not go well for the citizens that they govern. We are seeing this all over our nation today, aren't we? You know, we get this mindset that you're hearing about today. Rules for thee, but not for me. Okay? Do as we say, not as we do. But let's consider now Rehoboam's choice of counselors. Who you listen to can reveal much about your heart and what's in your heart. So let's look at just two things this morning concerning Rehoboam's choice. First of all, let's look at Rehoboam's forsaken counsel. His forsaken counsel. What did Rehoboam forsake? Well, if you look at the first phrase in verse 8, you will see the advice and counsel that Rehoboam refused. The older folks, men with experience, men with wisdom, gave Rehoboam, I think, some wonderful advice here. Advice that he rejected. But nonetheless, it was good advice. And as I studied this and thought about it, I noticed two things about their counsel. It was, first of all, compassionate, and I'll explain that. And then secondly, it was courageous, and I'll explain that. But first of all, let's notice that their counsel, the counsel from the old men, the counsel which Rehoboam did not take, the counsel was compassionate counsel. It was compassionate advice. Now, don't forget, folks, it was this advice that Rehoboam refused to listen to. The older men told the king that he should ease up on the oppressive rules. And that was straight down the line good advice. It was. The people were so oppressed under the thumb of Solomon. A ruler's power, listen, folks, a ruler's power is not to hurt the people, but to help the people. It is not to bring chastisement upon the people that they serve. It is to bring encouragement and comfort to those that they serve. You can draw more flies with honey than you can with vinegar, can you not? What is so sad is that these wise elderly men told the young, inexperienced king that he should be kind to the people and ease their burdens. Hold your place here for just a moment and go back to the first book of Chronicles, chapter 11. All right, the first book of Chronicles. They're chronicling the history of Israel. It's hard for hillbillies to say that word for some reason. I don't know why. It's not that difficult of a word, but blah, 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 I can't do it. All right, look at verse 2, please. Well, let's get 1 and 2. It says, then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, now watch this carefully, thou shalt what? Doesn't say fleece, does it? Huh? It doesn't say fleece. Thou shalt feed thy people, or my people. God said, you shall feed my people, Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people, Israel. So, plainly spoken, God told David how he was to rule the people, and he was to feed them. In other words, he was to create an environment where the people had bread and enough to flourish. To feed someone is to show care and compassion for them. But far too often in our world today, our leaders use their power to fleece the people rather than feed the people. You know, the king said the other day he was going to tax the rich people. Going to tax the rich people. You know, those rich people got rich for a reason. You know, they're not dummies. And when that goes into effect, these rich people are going to take their rich money and they're going to move it across the creek so that it can't get at by the king, you know. I mean, they're not dumb. That's never going to work. And so they're still doing their absolute best to spend, and they're not going to stop spending. And they're not going to stop printing, but no matter how much they print, it's not enough. So now they got a tax. Well, then if they can't get any money from the rich people, they're not going to quit spending. Then you and I are going to get the brunt of that. You can mark that down. You can mark that down. Folks, listen, the elderly counselors were compassionate towards the people, and they advised the new king, Rehoboam, to be kind to his people. You know, one thing that grieves me so much today is all this unkindness that is going on. I mean, it's us against them in everything. It's almost like you have to choose a side no matter what you do. You know? No matter what you do. It's amazing to me, but that's just the way our world is today. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. Why do Christians have to be so unkind to others, especially to one another? Folks, think about it. Why come here and protest abortion? Why not go down to the Methodist Church or to the Presbyterian Church or to the United Church of Christ? Why not go there? No, you got to come here where everybody in this building is probably against abortion. If you're not, you should be. It's murder. I don't get people. And then be so ugly about it. But that's our world. You see, when you're unkind, when you are belittling to someone else, when you are ugly to another person, you are basically trying to make the point that you are in some way better than they are. Isn't that right? That's exactly right. Amen, preacher. Did you ever stop to think that everybody has feelings? Everybody. There are so many people who think belittling others makes them bigger. But it doesn't. It only belittles you more. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And also notice, folks, this counsel was not just compassionate, but secondly, this counsel was courageous advice. You say, "Well, Pastor, what do you mean by that?" Well, listen, these wise men, they weren't fools at all, were they? No, they had a little understanding. You know, there's something about age. I got asked just this week, "Pastor, would you like to go back and start all over again?" And I said, "Yes, if I could know what I know now." Oh, folks, when I started out, I was so green. Good grief. You could have thrown me out in the front yard and I'd have taken root. That's how green I was. Terrible. Terrible. I'd like to start over, but I'd like to know what I know now, that's for sure. And I think these elderly men knew in advance. They knew when they gave the advice, they knew that it was not going to set well with that younger generation. I think they knew it. I think they understood that. Truth is, seldom is doing the right thing the popular thing to do. Wrong usually is a popular philosophy and the one that is accepted by others. Last Monday morning, I got up and fixed a cup of coffee and went in and sat down, turned on the news, and the earth-shattering news of the morning was how Will Smith had slapped, what's his name? Chris Rock. Yeah, I knew that. On live TV at the Oscars. What shocked me, well, not really. That's not true. What amazed me was the fact that just a few minutes later, Mr. Fresh Prince was brought up on the platform to get the Oscar for Best Actor. And all the people that were sitting there who watched him walk up on the stage and assault an individual stood up and applauded. Yay! That was awesome. And I'm just sitting there going, "Oh my goodness." Now let me ask you a question, folks. Suppose you walked up on the stage and slapped Chris Rock across the face. Yeah, what do you think would have happened to you? You'd have been carried out of there, that's for sure. Probably with a billy club embedded in your noggin. Yeah, you'd have been carried out of there. You see, the very elitist of the elite that were in that room, the very elitist of the elite who preach down to the rest of the country about social justice and defunding the police and inequality in our American system of judgment, and yet one of theirs can assault another person on live TV, and it's okay. You say, well, he resigned from the academy. He should have. I mean, he did one right thing. Come on. That does not blot out the fact that he walked up and slapped an individual across the face. But you see, folks, that's our world. That's our world. What would have happened to you? Yet one of theirs can assault another person and there's no repercussions. You see, you get on a bus without a mask on. You get on an airplane. Try to get on an airplane. Where's your mask? I'm not wearing one. Well, call the police. Oh my, you're going to get in. I mean, you talk about getting embarrassed. You're going to get embarrassed. They're going to grab you around the nape of the neck. You are putting society in danger. Well, I think Will Smith's a danger to the society, don't you? Don't make him mad. Don't make him mad. But if you don't like a joke somebody tells, well, you can just slap somebody silly. But if you don't wear a mask, some policeman's going to slap you silly. Do you ever notice how everything's just backwards in our world today? Everything's backwards. I think it's time for the Lord to come back, don't you? Now, these older men were brave, folks. They spoke what was the right thing to say. They did not say just what they thought the king wanted to hear. It takes real courage to speak the truth, especially in places where the truth is not acceptable. Amen. Then secondly, I got to hurry. Man, that took a long time. Secondly, I'm going to have to start making my sermons shorter. I don't have time to get them in. Number two, y'all listen fast, I'll talk fast, all right? Number two, let's look at Rehoboam's favored counsel. What did he accept? All right, we looked at what he did not accept, and that sounded like good advice to me. But then look at what he favored. Look at what he accepted. The rest of the verse says, in verse 8, that he took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. Now, folks, I just want to say these were not good advisors. They did not have the people and the king in mind. We're told here that they were raised with Rehoboam in the household of Solomon. Do you know what that means? That means that just like Rehoboam was spoiled rotten Solomon was probably the wealthiest man this world has ever known. More money than Bill Gates and Elon Musk and all the rest of them put together. Evidently. And Rehoboam was a spoiled, rotten little brat. And these fellows that were raised along with him, They were also spoiled, rotten little brats who knew nothing but luxury and ease. The burdening of the people, listen now, was the insurance for their way of life. It was insurance. It made sure they were able to keep their cushy little lifestyles intact. Now, their counsel to Rehoboam, which the king gladly accepted, was the opposite of what the old men advised. The old men's advice was compassionate and courageous, but the young men's advice was cruel and cowardly. Cruel. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, these younger, inexperienced peers of the young king gave advice that Rehoboam just jumped at. The king jumped at it. You see, a cruel king accepted the cruel advice because he was cruel. Just that simple. They advised him to be even harder on the people than was Solomon. They wanted the new king to raise people's taxes and to oppress the people even more than Solomon had oppressed them. They were saying, hey, Rehoboam, crack the whip. Be strong. Be stern. Don't give them an inch. You give them an inch, they'll expect a mile. Don't give in. But these young men were not thinking of, number one, the king. And they weren't thinking of the people. You say, well, Pastor, who were they thinking of? Themselves. They were only thinking of themselves. You see, this was extremely harsh. Extremely harsh. And they knew it. And Rehoboam knew it. But they had to keep the money coming in so they could keep their incomes where they were. It was all about them. Not the people. The Lord taught us to give, did he not? But it's Satan who teaches us to take. Yeah. Yeah. But then that advice also was cowardly. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, just think about it for a minute, folks. I think these young men had their finger in the air. They had licked it. Stuck it up in the air to see which way the wind was blowing. That's how they lived their lives. That's how they lived their lives. They didn't care about principle. They didn't care about character. All they were concerned about was themselves. They thought of position. And they wanted to be in the king's favor. They were cowards in that they had no intentions of telling King Rehoboam what he needed to hear, but instead told him what he wanted to hear. And you know, that's exactly what happened, or what has happened all across our country. I'm talking about in politics, but I'm also talking about in our churches. Way too many preachers stand before their congregations as cowards. I have a good friend. We grew up together. We grew up together, went to the same church, went to the same Bible college, took the same Bible classes. And his church is full-blown contemporary today. Why? Because some young people came to him one day and said, Pastor, everybody's doing this. Everybody's doing this. Everybody's bringing in the drums and the guitars and the praise team and the Wiggle Sisters and all the rest of them. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Oh, really? Everybody? Yeah. Hey, we're not. I ain't going to do it. I know it's not good grammar, but it's a good point. You see, it takes courage to stand up and speak the truth. And these guys, they weren't willing to do that. They didn't care about the king. It didn't matter. They were only concerned about themselves. They didn't care about the people. That didn't matter either. They only cared about themselves. Folks, listen. The ability to do the right thing and to make the right choices in life is what the old timers used to call character. Character. And somehow or another, that went out the door along life's way. Folks, let's do what's right. So, well, how do you know what's right? I got a book right here. I got a book right here, and it tells you what's right. It'll tell you. Character is simply the ability to do the right thing. And folks, there is wisdom in counsel, and it's always good to get advice and opinions. There's wisdom in counsel, but it is so important to have the right character so that when you are asked for your advice, you give solid, godly advice. Amen. And not selfish advice. But then the person that asks for the advice has got to have enough character to take it and use it if it's right. Rehoboam chose to take the poor advice, and it haunted him for the rest of his adult life. Folks, I'm begging you, know what you believe. Amen. Know what you believe. That's what Peter said. Know what you believe. Know why you believe it. And be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason for the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. Let's just do the right thing. Bow your heads with me, please. Listening to bad advice. Man, there's a lot of that going around, isn't there? Listening to bad advice. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many folks would say this morning, Pastor, God's dealing in my heart. I want to listen to God. I want to follow the Lord. I want to be in my Bible and growing and learning, and I want to know what the Lord has to say and follow His advice. I don't want to listen to bad advice that's going to mess things up. I want to listen to the Lord in my life. Would you raise your hand all over this building? Amen. God bless you, folks. That's just absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much. You may put your hands down. Thank you. All right, let me ask one more question. This is an important question. I want you to listen carefully. Is there anybody in here who will say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved? If I died right now, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. But I care about my soul. I'm concerned. And I want you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray and ask God to help you? Anybody like that this morning? Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Upstairs, anybody else? Anyone else? All right. Father, you know our hearts this morning. You know the need of every person in this room. And Father, I pray you'll help us to be strong in the Lord. Help us to know our Bible and to stand upon the principle of God's Word. And Father, I pray for Christians to go out this week and be a witness for you and to stand and having done all to stand for what's right. All these hands that were raised, Father, I pray that you will just burden our hearts to want to stand up for the right things and then do them. And then, Father, also want to pray for the one that said, I'm not sure I'm saved. Father, may today be the day that they get this matter settled with you. So we love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your goodness. Bless now as we extend an invitation for folks to make a decision for you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.